Alright, we are starting the bottom of Pizayim on the bed. The Gemara is discussing the issue of how to establish or understand the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, meaning that the Gemara was able to explain the issue with regards to the Isar and the Shemen, with regards to the return of the objects to the father. Because in that instance, when the Chenvani sends it through the Katan as a messenger, then the Machlokas is the original intent of the father when he sent the Katan to the Chenvani. Was it simply the Odi? Was it simply to notify the merchant that he wanted the merchandise? Or was it to establish that this child can be used as a Shliach? And that would be the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the culpability of the merchant will depend on which of those two you think. The Gemara's problem ran into was with its tzlochit, with the pitcher itself. Because the pitcher itself started or was originated by the father and sent by the father. Since it was sent by the father, then why is the merchant culpable at this point in time? The father already acted in a way which we mentioned here, the Gemara mentions of Eda Midati. He acted in an irresponsible manner. If he acted in an irresponsible manner, why does the chenvani, why does the merchant all of a sudden become responsible? So the first attempt the Gemara made was that it was Shmuel, right? That a person who takes a kli from an uman to check it out, he's responsible for that item. I'm going to get back to that again today. We'll discuss it again. But because of that, the father is actually a merchant of pitchers. And since he's a merchant in pitchers, the Chenvani, the merchant, when he took it, to look at it, it was as if he was taking it on the assumption that he was going to keep it and had right of return. When he did that, he did it with Kitzei Dama, that the money was already set. Then the Gemara rejects that. It says if that's the case, then Shmuel is a Machlokas Tanaim, and they don't want to do that. Then the next one was an attempt by Rabbi Rav Yosef, which is talking about that the Chenvani, the merchant himself, is a Mocher Tzlochit. And therefore, all of these items are the same. The pitcher did not originate with the father, but rather with the storekeeper. And the pitcher originating with the storekeeper makes it the same as everything else here, including the isar and the shemen. Everything is originating with the merchant. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are simply arguing about the same fact, which is when the child is sent for notification, is he notifying, right, to send back with the child, or is he simply telling the merchant that I want the merchandise, don't send it with the child? And the problem with that is the last line in the Mishnah, which is that when the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, why would the Chachamim ever agree to Rabbi Yehuda in such a instance? Because there they suggested when he sent it with the Yad HaTinok, if he fills it when it's in the hands of the Tinok, then all of a sudden he's patur. You know, why does it make a difference? Right? There's no, the fact that the Tinok's holding it should make no difference because it's the Chenvani who's originating the pitcher or the giving of the pitcher to the child. So because of that, we ended up with Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, who said, what are we talking about here? And this is the bottom page nine. We finished up with this yesterday. We'll just go over it again. Right? What are we dealing with right here? We're going to Natla Lamudba. He took the object, he took the pitcher to use it to measure with it. Uchid de Rabbo. And it's based on the principle of Rabbo. Dam Rabba Kishin it Chayevba. Rabba's principle is established by Aveidah. When there's something that's lost, you have an Aveidah. There's certain people who are exempt from returning an Aveidah. For instance, a Zakein v'lolifnei kuvodo. So a lolifnei kuvodo. A Zakein who's not appropriate for him to handle or deal in such items, he would be patur from being magzir such an Aveidah. But if the Zakein, even though he's patur, gives the animal a whack, right? That's what we're going to say here. Amarabba, yikishin itchayibba. He gives the animal a whack and the animal takes off, then he does become responsible for the avedah. Because in some way he has now made some sort of kinyon or interacted with the object in a way which now makes him obligated to take care of the avedah.
Or the opposite, he wasn't allowed to know how to do it.
He was patur because it was enel lefi kvodo. But now that he was hikisha, he's entered himself into the fray and he's made himself chayav to deal with the avedah, to machzir the avedah. So the Gemara wants to suggest the same things here is true. That true, the child showed up with the pitcher and therefore the merchant is not responsible for the pitcher, but when he went ahead and took it to use it, lamudba, he did become responsible at that point in time because he interacted with an object that he otherwise would have been patur from. The Gemara distinguishes and says, wait, imadama rabba b'balei chayim. That maybe Rabba's principle only applies by animals, livestock, dankitu nigra vaita. Because once you give them a taste of the good life, you hit them and you send them out, now they're problematic because they will not return or they will not act in the manner before. So by him chasing out the animal, he's now giving the animal a wider range which it will wander and make it less likely that the Aveda will return. So he's actually made, the situation has deteriorated because of his hitting the animal. All right, I got the Miyamar over here. What did he change? The fact that he measured with the Kli makes no difference about the Katan's responsibility for the Kli. I mean, he's made it no better or no worse, right, than it was before. So now, we reject this answer. Now on to the next. Amar Rava, Ani Varish B'Chabura Targaminu. We explain it. I and the, you know, the lion of the Chabura explained it. Who is that? Umanu Rabbi Zera. What's the case here? He took it from the child to use as a measurement for others. Nothing to do with this transaction, for other transactions. And we now entered what is called, this is talking about a case of a Shoel Shalomidat, someone who borrows something without permission, without knowledge, and without permission of the owner. So he's utilizing the item without permission of the owner. So Mar Savar Shoel Havi. One of them holds that he's a Shoel. Umar Savi Gazlan Havi. And one holds that he's a Gazlan. I said one because it's not so clear, although, I mean, it seems clear. The Rashbam is very clear about this. It says, Mar Savi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan holds he's a Gazlan. If he's a Gazlan, he becomes Chayav in the Onsin. Because as soon as you're a Gazlan, you're responsible for the items. And therefore, when you send it back with the Tinok, if it doesn't get back to him, you're responsible to replace it. Because when you have a Shivet Gzelash or Gazal, you require what? Dat Balim. Right? And when you give it over to the Tinok, right, to return it to his father, that is not classified as Dat Balim. Dat Balim means that you hand it to the Balim, or they know about it. Handing it to his son is not classified as Dat Balim, and therefore there's a failure of a Shivat of Zilash or Gazal, and you'll be Chayav to replace it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's a Shoel. He's a Shoel, he's just a regular Shoel, right, when he brings it back, when you return it to the Makom Shesha'al, that's enough. You turn it, when you borrow something, as long as you return it to its original place, then you are no longer classified as a Shoel. And so therefore, when he took it from the Tinok, returned it to the Tinok, it's exactly where it was before. It's no better, no worse than it was before. So if that's the case, he is Patur in this case. If the Tinok does something with it, he is Patur. That's the explanation of the Rashbam. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains the exact opposite. It's hard to understand, somewhat hard to understand what the Rabbeinu Gershom is doing. But Rabbeinu Gershom says, I'll just read it to you quickly, Rabbanon Savre Shoel Havi. He's a Shoel benitchayev beunsei. Kol zman shelo chazra b'yad lebaleh. That unless you return it to the Baalim, you become a Shoel. A Shoel is chayev beunsei. So that's why you're chayev according to the Chachamim. But this is the harder part of it. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Shoel Shlomidat Gazlan Havi. Bein lo din Shoel upatur min haunsin. That he's a Gazlan, and therefore he's patur min haunsin. Right, exactly. So I don't know, Rabbeinu Gershom, I don't know where that's from, because a Gazlan is patur min haunsin is not true, I don't think, not that I remember, that Gazlan is chayav min haunsin, and number two, a Gazlan is just chayav, to yeshiva the gzela shar gazal, doesn't matter. Right, doesn't matter.
If he's a Shoel, he's chayav, but if he stole it,
I don't really understand the Rabbeinu Gershom. I've been pointing it out to you because he does have this opposite opinion. What I do find interesting is there's here in these couple of tapim, there's what's called the Perish HaRashabama Ikari, which some sort of Tivyad, which is supposedly the real Rashbam on these Dapim, and that which was entered here was one of his Talmidim or something of that effect. There's a footnote on the previous Amud, on the beginning of Pezayin, I think, or Pevav, that explains the whole, long footnote that explains the whole origins of this Rashbam HaYikari. But he says one very interesting thing, the Rashbam HaYikari, which he says that, Dino ki Shoel, Mihu Isura Miha Ika. Shbam says that no matter what you think, if he's a Gazlan, it's clear that it's Asur, right? But he says that Shoel Havi doesn't mean Mutar. It means, right, you're Patur because you're Shoel if you return it to the Tinok. But it's Asur to do such because it's the equivalent or no better than a Shoel Chiyad B'Pikadon. Because here, Sholeach Yad B'Pikadon, at least you have permission, it was in your possession. And then you're Sholeach Yad. Over here, the father sent it and you borrowed it. I mean, it wasn't even supposed to be in your possession and you used it. So how could that be better?
You just say, well, I took it, but I was using it, but I'm going to return it.
Right. So over here, he says, so it's no worse than that, and therefore it should be Asur. Right, why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing it out because there's an interesting difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam over here. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, when it comes to codifying Shol Shalomidat, the Rambam codifies Shol Shalomidat. It's in Perek Gimel in Hilchot Gzeila V'Avida. I'll read you. Halacha Yud Aleph is a shaliach yad bepikadon. Halacha Yud Bet is chigbiat achavir litom emet revit. Next, halacha Yud Gimel is hayu perot mufkadim etzlo benatal miksatan. Halacha Yud Aleph is akufir bikadon. Halacha Tedvav, hashuel shalom idat avalim herzer gazlan. Where's the Rambam? The Rambam places shuel shalom idat, right, in the area of shaliach yad bepikadon. He puts it in the same category, in the same halacha. He's codifying it in that halacha. Why does that make a difference? So listen to this Rambam. It says, our case. So he says, the Rambam says that you have to be mishtamesh bo to be a shoel shalomidat. Simply taking of the item doesn't make you a shoel shalomidat, but rather usage of the item is, right, what makes you a shoel shalomidat, which might relate to what we're talking about here. Shalech yad bepikadon. Right, the shalech yad bepikadon is someone who has an intent to use the item, not simply take the item. Now, Rambam codifies a shoel shalomidat. How do you become a shoel shalomidat? He says that you lacho achamem vinishtamesh bo. It's very interesting. I saw that one, there's only like the Lechem Mishnah raises the issue in the Rambam, and I think there's a Machaneh Ephraim that raises it. But it's interesting that the Rambam codifies it where he codifies it in Shalech Yad Vepikadon, and he says that Minishtar Mishbo. Again, I think both of those issues seem to speak to what the, right, the Rashbam quoted over here in the Rashbam Ikari. He's talking about Shoel. But the fact is that when even with Gazlan, the Rambam codifies it in that same category of Pikadon. As opposed to the Shulchan Aruch. If you go to the Shulchan Aruch and he codifies it, Shulchan Aruch quotes it in the Siman Shinen Nuntet, which is the beginning of, you know, Hilchot Gezel. Asur L'Gzol, or L'Ashok. The Siv Bet, Asur L'Gzol. Siv Gimel, Kol Gozel Et Chavero. Right? And then the Siv Dal is Afilu B'Sakana Tafashot, you're not allowed to steal. Siv Hey, Afilu Lukech V'Shei L'Ashlo Midat Abalim Nikra Gazlan. So it's very different, and there he just says, Lokeach v'sheila. So the Shulchan Aruch who codifies it in the beginning of Hilchot Gzeila, and codifies it as a Lokeach, if you simply take it. Again, I just found it interesting in light of this Rashbam, how the Rambam codifies it in Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon, in Parag Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies it at the beginning of Hilchot Gzeila as a Lokeach, someone who takes. So obviously they're nafkaminos, whether it has to be lokeach or nishtamesh. I'm not saying the Rambam doesn't necessarily say lokeach would also be chayav.
It's interesting, according to the Rambam, you have to use it.
It seems that way, right?
If I take it, what happens from the time I take it before I use it? When am I?
Right, so that's a good question. It might be over here, and the answer could be simply that over here, the case that the Rambam sets up is where the child or the Eved is bringing it for the usage of the other individual is supposed to use it to put the item in. So he's simply taking it, it's not shol shalom idat, because the father intended for him to take it when he sent it with these individuals. Only when he's nishtamishpo, when he uses it for others, does it become shol shalom idat. It might be that the Rambam is unique to this case, rather than he's making a general principle. So from the Rambam, it sounds like a general principle of nishtamesh. So your question about when you take it without permission, so you would be, maybe you'd be a shoel, but not a gazlan. I mean, there's a possibility there might be a stage in between, where you're a shoel, but not shoel shalom midat in terms of gazlan. And that might be the case of shaleach yad bepikadon. I don't know. I'm just speaking. It's just interesting to me. It jumped out at me when I read the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The other thing to address. All right, you know, we'll do this in the next one. As we speak in the next sugya. So gufa, Amar Shmuel, anotel kli mina uman. Right, someone who takes a kli from an uman, the vakro, v'ne'nas piyado, and then right, something happened while it was in his hand. Then he is chayav. So the Gemara here qualifies. We already spoke about this qualification. We spoke about Shmuel yesterday. Is that hani mili de kitzei demel? That's only once they've set the price. Because obviously, if he takes it to look at it and they haven't set the price, there's no finality because there's no way that he would ever accept the item or take it with the intent of really buying it because he doesn't know how much it costs. So the whole thing could fall apart on price. Once the price is known, he's taken it to look at it. We assume that his taking of it now makes him culpable. Why is he culpable? I mentioned this at the end of yesterday's shir. Why is he culpable? It seems to be a machlok between the Rashi and the Tosafot. Tosafot, yesterday, it's in the Halukeach. Yesterday, Tosafot over there says that looks like he's a shoel. When he takes it, he's a borrower of the item because he hasn't paid for it yet, and therefore he has a din of a shoel. And if he returns it, he becomes a Shomer Sachar on the way back. I mean, once he starts to return, he becomes a Shomer Sachar, but he's simply a Shoel, and that's why he can return it. Rashi over there, and the Rashbam over here quotes both opinions. He actually quotes the opinion of Tosafot that it's a Shoel, and the other opinion is that he's Lokeach. He's actually a buyer at that point in time. He has bought the item. He's the right of return, but he's bought the item. So therefore, once it's in his possession, he's Chayav Neonsin because it's his. It's his. Okay, he has an out, which is that he has a right of return. That right of return allows him to return it to the mocher if he decides he doesn't want to take it. But as long as it's with him, the assumption is that he knows the price, he took it, that he's the buyer, and he's now in his possession fully. So those are the two possibilities. If I'd explain, Shmuel, why you chayav, right, beonsin, when you take the item to look at it once the price is set, is because the underlying assumption is that the person is going to keep it. And because he's going to keep it, he's either a shoel, until he pays for it, and then he becomes a lokeach, or he's a lokeach, right, with the right of return. Those are the two possibilities. Obviously, the nafkuminot about, again, when he returns it, what is his status, is according to the Lotham, maybe he's a Shomer Sachar, maybe by the Lokeach it's not that way. And again, and how far will his culpability go in this situation if he's a Shoel or a Lokeach? That's one issue. Alright, now, Al Gavra, the Al Beit Abcho, Agva Atma de Bisra, Bahadadeka, orders up a thigh of meat in the butcher shop. And he's looking at it. It's about Hadidika Agba. So when he's looking at it, he's, you know, checking it out. If it's fat enough, it's got enough meat on it for him that he wants to take it. The price is known. Alright, so what happens? Ata Parsha Mrama Mine. So along comes some sort of officer, I don't know, some government official. Right. A government official comes along, snatches it away, and says, you know, all the meat's mine, takes off with it. So at the government of Yemar. So they came to Rabbi Yemar, who's responsible to replace this thigh over here? So Chayve L'Shlume, Damel. He says, you gotta pay. This customer has to pay for the thigh. Why? That's assuming that the price was set. Assuming that the price was set, he's responsible for the item because as soon as he took it when the price was set, the underlying assumption is that either he is a Lokeach or a Shoel, and therefore when the ones like this happens, he's culpable. So how Gavra, the Aite Kari L'Pumnaro. It's another case. Here's an individual who brings gourds to the edge of the riverbank. He's a seller, a merchant that's going to sell gourds on the riverbank. Ate kuliyama, shoko, karu karu. So all of a sudden everybody, there's a frenzy that gourds on the riverbank, and everybody shows up and they start grabbing them. Says it's all Kodesh, all these gourds are Kodesh. Now why did he do this? The problem was that they're all grabbing it, and he didn't know who to get money from afterwards. They're all taking off with gourds. He didn't know who he was extending credit to. He didn't know how to get his money back. He says, "Hey, cool, they're all mukdushim l'shamayim." So does it work? Person is not allowed to be mukdish, something that does not belong to him. Over here, they already took possession of the gourds. When they picked up the gourds, this is the opposite factor, right? When they picked up the gourds, they become the owners now. They're the... Right, either according to Tosfos they are shoalin, and therefore you can't pull it back because it's inu b'shuto, or according to the way they're Rashi and there's Rambam that it's lokeach already. It's not even not inu b'shuto; it's also inu shalom now at this point in time, possibly. Right, so then it can't be makdish or inu shalom. Bahani milei who did kitzei damayu. That's only what if the price was set. The price is set. They're taking up the item as assumption that they now own it or they're shoel. If there's no price, then they're simply looking at the item. And therefore, he could be Makdishit, Beshut Marayu Kaime. They're with the original owner, Veshapir Akdish. And therefore, he is, his Hekdesh over here is a good Hekdesh.
Is it enough to say that they're 50 cents a pound? Or do
you have to
say for each?
No, if that's the normal way of selling it, at 50 cents a pound, and people buy them in a by pound. We're going to go in a second, we're going to see it goes so far as to say that even with items where the price is well known, say if the items that have a well-known market price, then even there, that's considered as if kitzi demayu. It's not only just, right, items, it's the Rashbam says of it. It has to have that price tag on it. Right, exactly. The Rashbam says that in instances where it's well known what the price is, that Zvina Harifa or things that easily sell into the market, those types of things, you don't have to have the exact price stamp put on it. But just the fact that they're well known is enough to make them considered as if it's a price.
Why is it considered the buyers?
Well, one of two possibilities, either Shoel or he's a buyer, he's lokech, he actually bought it, because he became the owner of the item now. He's the buyer, he has a right of return, but he still is the owner now, he's lokech. Right, he quotes the Gemara Nedarim, he's going from the Rashi, and the Gemara Nedarim qualifies this whole sugya and says that this is only true by Zvina Harifa. It's only a case that where it, the mocher could have sold it to anybody else that he wanted. So since the item is so hot, and he could have sold it, therefore the mocher could say, if I didn't sell it to you, I would have sold it to someone else. So at that point, the lokech becomes responsible, because the lokech is knowing no tovah to the mocher. He's doing absolutely nothing to benefit the mocher in that instance, because the mocher could have sold it to anybody. In the case where the mocher couldn't have sold it so easily to someone else, then the lokech is also providing a benefit to the mocher by actually taking it. And therefore, not all the ana belongs to the lokech, but some of it belongs to the seller as well. If that's the case, then there would be a balance. You might only be a nosa sechar, and you might not be a shoel. That's what you're quoting from the Rashbam. I mean, the Rashbam makes two statements. One is Zvina Harifa changes it. If it's not Zvina Harifa, the problem is that he's not a shoel, maybe, because the borrowing of the item is not all hana shel lokeach. It's not all hana belongs to you, because the mocher is also benefiting by you buying it, because it's not Zvina Harifa. The second issue is, if you say he's a lokeach, then the reason he's a lokeach is because it's kitzei demeah. Zvina Harifa is a replacement for known price. That's what he's very telling. He says, Tam yishum kaitzei demeah, Zvina Harifa hu arihu b'netila zu kamo lokeach gamur. Right, because of it, Zvina Harifa, he's like a full buyer. Right, inami ho kamo shuel shekol hana shelo. Because at that point in time, it's as if he's either because it's so readily available and the pricing is so known that when he takes it, he bought it. And that's it. Or he's a shual because all the hana shalom. One of those two items. I mean, the Ashram gives both explanations, and therefore he has to explain both of them in Zvina Harifa. All right, so now, before we start out, there's one more case, which is an unusual case. It's a little different than the other two cases. Before we do that, Tzvi asked the question yesterday, which is an important question, and that is that the underlying assumption of the Gemara here is that when the child brings something to the merchant, and that's what we concluded, right? He brings a pitcher to the merchant, and the merchant does something with it. He's a shol shalami dad. He becomes a shol shalami dad, and he becomes a gazlan. He's responsible for it. But the problem, and the Gemara makes an open statement, that a veda shalami dad, and when he sent it with his child, it's an Aveda Shlomidat. What is the status of an Aveda Shlomidat? Since we ask, it's Aveda Shlomidat, it becomes Hefker. If it's Hefker, when the Chenvani picks up the picture at the other end, why is he responsible for the picture on the other end? I mean, that's all it is a Hefker. He picked something up from Hefker, and then he sends it back. If it breaks, it was his that he sent back. Why is he culpable at all in this case? So that's a problem that is actually a much deeper problem. The other time shol shalami dat is used is in is used in Bava Metzia. It's used in Mechafei, I think, also in Lamed Aleph, in Bava Metzia. There it says, when you have an aveda, or something that puts something in the ashpa, suya lifnot, or garbage, he puts it in a dumpster that is normally going to be moved away and dumped, then it's aveda midati. Over there it's aveda midat, and a person who comes, right, can take it. There is three opinions, there are three different shitot about what it means to be aveda midat. Rashi on the spot and the Ridva both claim that it's Yeush. It's Aveda with Yeush, basically. It's the equivalent of an Aveda already Achrei Yeush. Why? So then you listen to Rashi. Aveda midati, tavalei asuki adate shivnua. The owner should have thought they're going to take it away. Since he should have thought they were going to take it away, it's equivalent of what? He should have known that it's gone. If it's gone, he has Yeush on it. The Ridva is more explicit. He says, it's not that he made it hefker. If he thought it was hefker, why did he put it into the garbage? He would put it on top of the garbage. The fact that it's covered in garbage, indication that he was hiding it there. He gives up hope of getting it back. I mean, he thinks maybe I'll get it back. He was looking for a place to put it. He couldn't find anything. So he put it in the best place possible, but with the knowledge that it probably won't be there in the morning. So that's equivalent of aveda with yeush. That is the opinion of Rashi and the Ritva. The Rambam, on the other hand, has an opinion. This is interesting. The Rambam has, what's aveda midat? Listen to the Rambam. Ma'aved memono ladat enis kakim lo. Someone who throws his money into the Rishut Rabim, we don't deal with such a person, right? He's irresponsible. Why are you going to be responsible if he's irresponsible? But listen to the end of the Rambam. Afal pisha sur lo'ed davar zed litol atzmo enu zakuk lachzir. Even though a person throws a kitzo b'shut rabim. Person sees the individual throwing his wallet out into the shut rabim. He is, even though he saw him throw it into the shut rabim, he is not allowed to take it for himself. He does no responsibility to return the aveda, because this person, the way this person acts, shows that he doesn't care about his property. So his lack of care about his property means that you don't have to return it to him, but on the other hand, you may not take it. It's clear that the Rambam does not read it as being what? Hefker. He says, Shneamar, Asher Tovat, Prat the Maved Ledato. The only reason time you have to be Mechzir it is when he lost it. But someone is Maved Ledato, there's no Chiyuv Hechzerah. So if that's the case, the Rambam believes that it's a Ptur in the being Mechzir the Aveda. He doesn't think it's Hefker. So now, the Rambam, right? Let's one more time, we'll look at the Tur. The Tur is the one who argues on the Rambam. The Tur says, quotes the Rambam, it says, because of a case where an animal is in a non-Jew's property, and they warn him that if you leave the animal there, they're going to kill it. So that's called the Veda Midat. So over there he says, you don't have to deal with it. Ketav Rambam, he quotes the Rambam that we just said, that you don't have to deal with it, but you're not allowed to take it. V'chein katav Ramah, the Ramah with a hey, v'ein nira. The Torah says, I don't think the Rambam's right. Okay, Daveda Midat Havi Hefker. Aveda Dat is Hefker. So now you have three opinions about what Aveda Midat is. Aveda Dat can either be Hefker, which is the Tur, right? The simplest understanding of Aveda Midat, which fits well into the Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's very difficult in our Gemara over here. Right? So Aveda Midat is Hefker. The other possibility, according to Rambam, Aveda Midat is an Aveda. It's just an Aveda that you don't have a Chiyuv Lachzir. It's an Aveda, so you can't take it, because there has been no relinquishment of ownership. But on the other hand, you're not responsible to return it because it's not in the parsha of returning Aveda, which is good for our Gemara, because when we say Aveda Midat here in our Gemara, it means what? That the child took it, and it doesn't mean you can take it. It doesn't mean it's Hefker. So it works well in the Gemara here, in Bava Batra, but it does not work well in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Then you have the Rashi and the Ridva who say that it's Aveda, but Aveda Acher Yeush. Aveda Acher Yeush, right, is not, again, is not so, it's not. It's a little different than Hefker, but it still doesn't help you here in our Gemara, because if it's Aveda Acher Yeush, then the individual might be able to take it, because Aveda Acher Yeush. Now, the only thing might be that in case Aveda Acher Yeush, if you know who the owner is, you might have a responsibility to return it. You may not be able to take Aveda. Right, that you may have to return the item when it's an Aveda Mechayush, so they might be able to fit into this Gemara a little better, because if it's Aveda Mechayush, but you know the Tinoch's bringing his father's clay, you can't take it. Even though it's Aveda with Yeush, still, if you know who it's coming from, you might be responsible to return in that case, and that might help explain the difference between the Gemara here and the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Because the Gemara in Metzia, it's founded in the Ashpa. Alright, but there are cases, the problem are, there are cases in Bava Metzia, Aveda Midat, when he throws the money back out and you see it. So in that case, is that Hefker, is that Aveda Miyeush? That might be different in those cases. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, right, Paskins, like the Rambam, and he says that it's Asur for you to take it, and you have no Chiyuv to return it. The Bir Agra over there explains, what's the source of the Shulchan Aruch? What's the source of the Rambam? Where do they get their opinion? It's clear the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam, right, the Shittato. And where did the Shulchan Aruch get it? So you know what the Bir Agra says? He says, you know, I'll tell you where they're from. It's Chayav Shum Gezel, Kevin Shul Afgre, Verayato, Mimashkata, Babar Babatrasham. He quotes our Gemara as the source. Our Gemara is the source for the Rambam. That's what he says. Because even though Vafagav the Iser Vishem and Nami Aveda Midat, Ela Kevin Shabbat Yado Chayav Lishalim. Even though the money that was sent and the Tzolchit were sent to him with a Tinok, and that was Aveda Midat, nevertheless, when the Chermani were sent it back to him, he's responsible for it. That shows you that it wasn't Hefker. Because it was Hefker, the Chay and Vani could never be Chayav for sending it back. So he says, the Rambam source is our Gemara and Baba Batra. Right, so the Shach on the spot quotes, he says the Beit Yosef, that quotes that he thinks that the Rambam is right. And he quotes in the Halacha, and the Bach also quotes, he says the Halacha. And then he says, Lafi Ani Adati, the Shach says, Lo Yardu L'Sov Da'ata Tur. They don't understand the Tur. They're wrong. Dein kavanat the Tur lasig b'sfarad the mistama kevin sheino mefakeach nechasav mefkiram. That's not true. A person who doesn't take care of his possession doesn't automatically make them hefker. Just because you don't take care of your possessions doesn't make them hefker. El kavanato lasig daveda midat amrei b'shash choduchto perushot davi hefker. Whenever the Gemara uses the term aveda midat, it means hefker. Ukmoshe muchvach gabi hashpa. He quotes the Gemara above Metzia, which is much more sounding like it is hefker. As you live not, the Kamar Shas, Baveda Midati, the quotes it as Aveda Midat. Alright, so now what about our Gemara and Baba Basra? What are you going to do with our Gemara and Baba Basra? Our Gemara and Baba Basra is different. Our Gemara and Baba Basra is not evidence that he was Mafkir them. It's just that he's not Mafakeach on the Chasav. The Rambam, you can say, the Rambam says, "Lamar da veda midat ha'cha ein perusho kama veda midat ha'atam v'udochek gadol." He doesn't like that explanation. The vaday u'adim b'davar sheni karmach shvatosh mafkirim have hefker. When you know the person wants to be mafkirit, then it's hefker. All right. So now, what about our Gemara over here? You're going to have to explain our Gemara over here that the fact that he sent it with his child is not evidence that he wants to be mafkirit. It's clear that even though he's doing an irresponsible act. It's clear that it's not his intent to be mafkirit. So that's what the Shach, right, is saying, that he's acting, just because a person acts irresponsibly with his items, does not mean he's mafkirit. If you have clear evidence that he's mafkirit, then it is hefker. But over here in our case, the child taking the object to the, right, to the owner, or to this chenvani, is an indication of irresponsibility, not an indication of hefker. That's why the Shach explains it. It's the loch is like the tour. The Ktsos, I mean, this guy going back and forth, the Ktsos right away quotes the Tor and the Beis Yosef, everything like that, and he says he doesn't agree with the Shach. He says, if the definition of the Shach over here is that any time the Torah, the Gemara uses Aveda Midat, it means Hefker. Well, we have a Gemara in Baba Basra, which clearly not Aveda Midat, is not Hefker. And there the explanation is more Mutumtzam, right? It's much more... Right, it's much more narrow, the definition. He says, then that should be the definition of Aveda Midat. You go with the most limited chidush. So if you want to say what Aveda Midat is, it should be defined by Baba Basra, not by Baba Metzia. And he disagrees here. Muvar, then obtain the katan, afagal davile Aveda Midat, afilu hachid lo avihefker. Of kocha tzarech lomar, da tur lo kamar davide midat avihefker. Elo b'miniach makom shenu mishtamer. Let me place it, it's not shumar. When Atan the Katan, I forgot to Veda Midati, I feel like he had no. The Torah has to agree to that because of the Gemara here in Baba Basra. He has to agree, he has to explain the Gemara in Baba Basra. That's how he's going to have to explain the Gemara over here. So that's it, that the Tzibas of Mishpat explains over here. This is the Nesivas of Mishpat, says, Nira da Veda Midat, Shema Veda Alav, Ubinan Yayush. Shumachi ba'ashva asuya lishnot hefker gomor hu. Teish gomor oika. Because then it's hefker gomor, because then you have ayush. In that case, you might not have to return it. You might have to do anything. Because there's no siman, there's yayush. But over here, when they give something to a katan, we assume the yumdana is that he won't be miyayesh from such a object. Right? Because it just calls it aveda midat. That the term aveda midat that the Gemara is using over here is a borrowed term. Not a term that means Aveda Midat, that really means Aveda plus Yayush. It means over here, Aveda Midat means that he's acting irresponsibly. Once it's an Aveda, right, then you have to understand, how did it come into his possession? So once you have an Aveda, and the question is there Yayush, or is there no Yayush over here? So that's the question. The question is, when this individual, unless he's trying to say something along the lines of Rashi and the Ritva, that it's Aveda, but butter Yayush. And the question is, when does the Yayush kick in? So that's the answer we say by the Ashpa. Might be by the Ashpa. The Rambam holds in general that it's not Hefker. It's just Aveda. By the case of the Ashpa, we have Aveda plus Yeyush. Because the fact that he put in Ashpa and he knows it gets taken away every morning, it's automatically assumed that he's what? Miyayesh. So since it's in a place that is clearly going to be Miyayesh, then we assume it's an Aveda with Yeyush, and that's why you're allowed to take it. Not because it's Hefker, but it's Aveda with Yeyush. In the case over here, it's just regular Aveda. So regular Aveda, you have a Chiyuv Tachzir, and that's why you can't take it from the Katan. So in the case in Baba Metzia, where you put it into the Ashpa, the Rambam will agree that you can take it in that case. Rambam agrees that, Allah. But in the case here in Baba Basra, you simply have Aveda. When you have Aveda, you can't take it. And that's why he's responsible to return it. All right. Since he's acting responsibly, why is the Chenvani Chayav here? So that's what we want to ask. How did the Chenvani come into possession of the item if you acted irresponsible? So then the Gemara comes up with these items. So he's still, but when he sends it to Katan, that's not a Veda Midat to claim that it's a Hefker. So again, the issue is a big machlokus between the Torah and the Rambam. But how do you look at a Veda Midat? The Rambam looks at a Veda Midat simply as an Aveda. Right, and you're, even though it's an Aveda with no Chiyuv to return it, the Torah looks at it as being Hefker. Right, that, the Torah goes well with the Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Rambam goes well with our Gemara here in Baba Basra. How does the Torah explain our Gemara in Baba Basra? You have to explain it that the fact that the father gave it to a Katan is somewhat responsible, one possibility, or say they gave it to a Tatanan is not, it's an indication that it's not really wanting to be Mafkirit. The Rambam will have to explain the Gemara in Baba Metzia. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia is clearly is Aveda, and maybe Aveda with Yayush. And that might be the problem over there. The Aveda with Yayush is why he's a Hefker over there. Because It was an Aveda Midat, meaning that there was Aveda plus there was Yayush, and that's also brings you to a point where it's the equivalent of Hefker. Argument over here, there's no indication that there's Yayush. So if there's no Yayush, then there's nothing to talk about. It's still an Aveda. If it's an Aveda, right, then the Henvani is Chayav, responsible for the item. The last thing that I'll point out is that the Rashbam over here brings another explanation of our Gemara. The Rashbam, bringing that additional explanation of the Gemara, says that there was a Girsa that said that this individual had a relationship with the merchant, and therefore he didn't send money to the merchant. All he sent was the picture to the merchant. He just sent the picture and told the son to get the items from the merchant. So there was no money, there was no anything besides the picture. And that's why the Gemara only deals with Aveda Midat by a picture. He doesn't deal with Aveda Midat when it comes to the money. Right? The Rashbam asked yesterday, what do you do about Aveda Midat by the money? So he came up with all sorts of answers. But here, in the end, the Rashbam says there was another explanation of this Mishnah. The Mishnah was that it was a Chenvaniya Regulet, well. Chenvaniya Regulet, so there was no money sent. It was all done in credit, or he was going to send them with the money or the change back. He had already money with him. And therefore, when he sends back the money and the oil and the pitcher, the only thing that we're worried about is the pitcher, because that was the only thing that was sent by the father with the katan, and that's why that's the whole question, or the whole idea that revolves around in the Gemara over here. The Tosus also points out that the Gemara in Baba Metzia says that when you steal something without the knowledge of the Balim, you have to return it. But if you return it exactly to the location, if the Balim never knew about it, Rabbi Yochanan believes if you return it to the exact location, and he doesn't know about it when it was taken or it comes back, that over there it's okay. So why not over here? Do you say when he returns it to the Tinok, why isn't that sufficient to be a return of the Gzela over here? So he said that we might be different. Because when he returned it, in the case of the corral, where he returns the animal, he puts it back in a makoma mishtamer. Puts it back in a place that is shamur. That's where the animal was to start with. I mean, that's why Rish Lakish argues over there, that maybe when he puts it back, he's already used to going out, then that's not enough. Right? But now, over here, in our case, when he hands it back to Tinok, he didn't return it to a makoma mishtamer. He put it back into an irresponsible location. That's not considered a shevet gzilat sher gazal. That's what as we said before in the Rashbam. Right? The last case here in the Gemara. Person who is picking out vegetables in the shuk. He's looking at which ones he wants to take. You're in the supermarket, you're picking out, you want to look, you're putting on the side the best ones. If you do it all day long, you're not kone what you picked out. You don't chayev and giving maser on these items. If he concludes that he's going to buy it, kana. If he decides in his heart he's going to buy it, kana, he's chayev b'maser. He's chayv maser of echzor yefshar, and he can't give it back. So why? He's already chayv to give maser. The last row, right? Yefshar, and he can't take off maser and give it back. When he takes off the maser, he's giving back less than he took. So over here, we're talking about an amal aretz who's a merchant in the shuk. He goes out, he's picking out vegetables, and he's gemar b'devo. He concludes he's going to buy them. In his heart, he doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. He's gemar b'devo, he's going to buy them. So Gemara says, you're already chayav in masrot. If you're chayav in masrot, then you have to be mafrish. A chaver is not allowed in town something to leave his hands without maser. So he can't return them without taking maser. Even though he has a right of return, he can't return it because he has to take off masrot. If he takes off masrot, he can't return it to the amaretz because then it's missing. It's missing what he took. He's cheating him out. So, okay, so what does he have to do? Masrot, no tin leidz me maser. So he says, what do you have to do? He's returned whatever merchandise is left. It's not tevel, he returns. Plus, he gives him money to replace the amount that was the maser that he gave to the Levi. Or the Trumat Maser, he has to replace that, and he gives it back. So, Ato Mishum de Gamar below, Noto Kana. Just because he thought about taking it, he didn't say anything. He didn't say, I'm going to buy this. He didn't make any effort. But why would he, if he concludes in his heart? He's just thinking, I'm going to take it. He's Gamar below, he's Kana. It's Chav Maser. Arbel Sheacha B'Yirei Shemayim Askin. And here we're dealing with the Yirei Shemayim. Kagon Rav Safra. Like Rav Safra, the Kayim bin Afshay, who concludes about himself, Dovera met Bilvavo. Anything is, when he says them in his heart, he goes with it. It's as if he said it. It's as if he's concluded and said it. That the fact that he concluded he was going to buy it in his heart, that's enough to be classified him as a buyer over here. So that's Dovera met Bilvavo. Rav Safra's story, the famous story of Rav Safra, is brought in Makot. Over there, the Gemara in Makot, the last daf in Makot, talks about it. Rashi quotes the story from the Mechilta de Rav Acha. Rav Safra was davening Kriyat Shema. It's quoted here by the Rashi as he's davening Kriyat Shema, then he waited to finish Tefillah. The Rabbeinu Gershom says he's davening Kriyat Shema until he finished Kriyat Shema. That's why Rashi quotes it in Makot. He was saying Kriyat Shema, and a buyer came to buy something from him. And he set a price, and Rav Safra ignored him, and continued to daven because he was saying Kriyat Shema. He couldn't respond. And the individual raised the price numerous times. He bid against himself, because the reason Rav Safra wasn't responding to him, because the offer wasn't, or the bid wasn't high enough. Rav Safra finishes, finishes Shemon Esrei, and the individual comes to pay him for the item. He's going to take the item from him. So Rav Safra says, listen, I'm not going to take it. Even though you've doubled the price, tripled the price since you started, I'm not going to take your money, because I was Gamar B'Libi. I conclude after the first offer, the first bid that you made to me, I was willing to accept such a offer, right? I was willing to accept it. And the reason I didn't accept it was because I was davening Kriyat Shema and I couldn't respond to you. So the fact that I already concluded after the first bid that you could have it, then I'm going to give it to you at that price. So that's a famous story of Rav Safra, and this is Gamar's quoting over here. You raise Shemanker Rav Safra that when he was Gomer B'Libo, he lives by what he thinks. Whatever he said in his heart, that's what he does. All right, new Mishnah. A siton is a wholesaler over here. The Rashi claims siton is a Yivani word. It's a Greek word for a wheat, large amounts of wheat. So that's what it's siton, because he deals in wheat. But it's true of any item like wine and shem and all of these. Mekaneach midotov echad l'shloshim yom. He cleans out his midot every 30 days. Ubalabayit echad l'shneimasar chodesh. A household, a domestic measurements, you only have to be cleared out once every 12 months. So the underlying assumption here is why? Is because the siton, who uses it frequently, has to clean it out. Whereas the balabayit, who uses it infrequently, only has to clean it out on a somewhat of a irregular basis, because whatever hardens for the balabayit, only hardens small amounts harder because he doesn't use it so often. Whereas the siton, which is using it on a regular basis, there's a lot of coagulation of items in the barrel and it will reduce the measurement. It's just the opposite. That the balabayit has to clean out it every 30 days, and the siton clears it out once every 12 months. Why? So the Rashbam, the way the Rashbam explains it, is because that if you use it on a frequent basis, there's no time for it to coagulate inside. There's no time for it to settle, because you keep using it and you keep clearing it out. So there's nothing settled in there. The hardness, nothing's harder inside of the barrel. And the balabayit uses it infrequently, right? Then it has time for everything to harden inside of it. It's going to harden inside, then it's going to reduce the measurement. So because of that, he has to clean it out. That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the opposite. The Rabbi Gershom and others quote other explanations like that the balabayit is very wealthy. And therefore, a balabayit is more likely to be active than a siton, which doesn't seem to make so much sense. But again, these are other opinions about what the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is. Right now, Chenvani, so some claim that this next statement is only according to the Rabbanon. The others, like the Rashbam, say this is also, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees with this. A storekeeper, a merchant, has to clean out his barrel twice a week. Why does he have to clean it out twice a week? Because even though he uses it a lot, because the chenvani we saw in the previous mission is not chayab to pour out the last three drops, right, to pour out the last three drops, or to pour out, to wait till everything gathers in the barrel and pour it out. Therefore, a chenvani, there's going to be a buildup of extra liquid inside the barrel. If that buildup of extra liquid is going to reduce the measurement, and reduce the measurement in favor of the chenvani. So therefore, he has to clean it out twice a week. And he has to clear off his weights once a week. And he has to clean the scale every time he weighs something. Anytime that's liquid or basar, anything that he weighs on, he's got to take it off. That's only when you're dealing with liquid items. Liquid items mean, right, liquids or basar, or items that are, right, wipe off or rub off on the scale. When you're dealing with dry items come out. When you dump them out of the scale, when you dump them out of things, they don't get, doesn't affect the weight of the scale. Now, Mishnah says when you measure something out for someone else, you have to give him an extra tefach. You don't go to the even scale. You weigh it in favor of the buyer by a tefach. If you're measuring exact, you're doing exact, then notein lo girumin. Then he has to give him an additional bonus. Outside of the weighing, he has to give him an additional bonus. It's echad l'asara b'lach v'echad esrim b'yavesh. 1/10 by liquids and 1/20 by yavesh. The Gemara will address all of this. Someone in a place where they normally measure in small quantities, you may not measure in large quantities. Why? Because you're cheating him out of the bonus. Because if he's machriya, every time he has to weigh it in tefach, or if he gives him a bonus every time of 1/10 or 1/20, if you do it in one shot versus 10 shots, you're cheating him out of that bonus. And the opposite is true the other way around. If it's gasa, then you won't do it in individual measurements, small quantities, if it's a large quantity. If they normally wipe off the top of the pile, right, then he can't make it a pile high. And if he piles higher, then he piles higher, you can't wipe it out. Again, we'll deal with this in the Gemara. Menani Mili. Where's the source for this that you have to give extra? So now, the word tzedek here is extraneous. Why? Because it already said the word tzedek already in the pasuk. So why do you have to say mishleim at tzedek? So the word tzedek comes, tzedek mishalcha b'tein lo. Right? Give, make him right from your own. Make him right from your own. How do you make someone right from your own? You give extra. Because then for sure, right, you haven't cheated him out. So tzedek mishalcha b'tein lo. Take some of your own to give it. It's interesting here, right? The word tzedek, we've talked about this orachayim before. That the word tzedek is also the word for tzedakah. That tzedek means that it's rightfully owned, right? It's rightful, it's just to give tzedakah. So that doesn't just mean that you don't own the item, because everything belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Aruch Haim points out in other times that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives fixed parnasa to everybody in the world. If you have more than your share of parnasa, it means that he gave you someone else's parnasa. If he gave you someone else's parnasa, you need to return it to its rightful owner. Tzedek. You have to give back. Tzedakah, it means tzedek. Take yours and give it back to its rightful owner. It's over here. Tzedek mishalcha. Make him right from your own. Over here. So Gemara says, Ihochi. Now, the Gemara thinks that this is the source for the Hachriya. This is the source why you have to give an extra tefach when you're weighing. You have to make the scale go down an extra tefach. It says, Ihochi emesefa, yishokelo ayin ba'ayin. If you weigh evenly, no tilni gurimim, then you give him extra afterwards. Gemara says, Ihachra do raisa. If Achra is a din do raisa, eichi yivle ayin ba'ayin. How could you weigh it evenly and then pay, give him extra afterwards? That doesn't work. If that's the, if a chreya, meaning giving more a tefach, weighing the scale in that favor of a tefach, if that's a din d'oraisa, you can't just give more. El reisha, b'makom shenagu. No, the reisha is a place shenagu. V'chiyitmar reish lakish ha-seifa. Reish lakish is sent on the seifa. What does that mean? Itmar ha-yashokelo ayin bayin. No, tein lo girumim. If he weighs it evenly, then you have to give him a bonus at the end. Not immediately. Where do we know what's the source of this bonus? Reish lakish, shamakra. B'tzedek. Right? Tzedek mishalcha. Alright, so ten log, and give him extra. So the idea of giving extra to the buyer, that is a din d'oraisa. When you give it, is a din in minhag. Min haTorah, you could give it either when you're weighing it, or you can give it afterwards. You can put in, throw one extra in the bag, so that you're for sure good. So that you can do afterwards. Or so min haTorah, it's not. Now, when the Gemara says, chayv l'achriya tefach, zan makom shenagu. In a place where they're nohag to give the bonus, when they do the weighing, you have to do it at the time of the bonus. Where there's no minhag, you can do it either way. The only thing Torah requires you is give extra. That's what the Torah requires from you. Now, minhani mili. Now, the Gemara wants to know, this extra, bekama gimurimim, what is the bonus that the Torah requires of you? Amri abba mamamel, amri abba acha, miyasara belitra belach, lasara litrin. That you'd give 1/10 of a liter for 10 litrin. And 1/10 of a liter for 10 litrin means 1%. It's a 1% bonus. It's a 1% bonus, and the Rashbam says that this is meduyak from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah does not say, if you look back at the Mishnah, it doesn't say achad mi'asara. It doesn't say 1/10, but it says achad li'asara. So that's saying, it really means it's chasurei mechzer, echad mi'asara le'asara. That's what the equivalent of what it's saying, because it didn't, the preposition is the wrong preposition. And therefore, it's indicative that there was another word that should have been in between, and that's the mission means 1%. So that's echad asara b'lach, echad esrim b'yavesh. It's 1/10 by liquids and 1/20 by yavesh. Ibalu, heichi kamar, by the yavesh, what is he saying? Echad mi'asara b'lach, la'asara, right, d'lach. When we talk about liquids, we talk about 1/10 of 10. So that's 1%. Bechad mi'esrim b'yavesh, 1/20 by dry goods, le'esrim b'yavesh. Meaning that it's the same pattern that we say, echad mi'asara, le'asara, and we say echad mi'esrim, le'esrim, which would make it, right, 1/400th or 1/4%. Oh, Dilma, or maybe it is, echad mi'asara, le'asara, le'lach, u'le'esrim b'yavesh. And the same thing by yavesh, you give 1/20 of 10. 1/20 of 10 is 1/200th or 0.5%. The Gemara leaves that as a teiku. It's unclear by the Yavesh whether the Gemara means to use the same pattern as we use by Lach of 10 to 10, which would be 1/100th and 1/400th, which would be the difference between 1% and 0.25%. Or is the Gemara after what? That it's everything is based on the 10. It's 1/10 of 10 and it's 1/20 of 10, which would be the difference between 1% and 0.5%. The Gemara leaves that as a teiku. Why by Yavesh do you give less of a bonus? Less of a bonus is because by Yavesh, there's less stuck in the scale, there's less problem. By Yavesh, you always say that the measurements are more meduyak, and there's less left over in the barrel, less left over in the scale, and therefore you don't have to give as much to be machria in favor of the buyer. Now, the question about when does this kick in? When you're machriya tefach, when is it? The Rashi says you have to be machriya tefach until you get down to a litra. A litra and above, you have to wait, give them the tefach. But once you get below a tefach, a litra, it becomes too extreme. To give them a tefach is like giving like double what they should have gotten because you're below a litra. The Rashba believes that you don't have to use this tefach until you hit 10 litra. Because that's the basis of the mission. The mission says 10 litra is the minimum that you're basing off their percentage. 1% when you are using 10 litra. So that's why he says that until you get up to 10 litra, you don't have to be machriya tefach. Right? So that's a question of when tefach is relevant. I mean, in terms of giving the bonus, when is tefach relevant to what size that you have? Right now. That the punishment for midot or cheating in midot is worse than the punishment of doing arayot. So one of them has this extra hay in it because the psukim that arayot it says don't sue a tchola to yivot ha'el. And by midot it says kolosei ele kolosei avel. So ele, the word by arayot is el, and by the midot it's ele. So now Gemara says, "My mashma to high el kashehu," right? So how do you know that because it says el and the addition of the hay, it's worse? It says because it ayaleya aretz lakach, right? He took the best or the hardest of the land, he took away. So that factor means what ayaleya aretz shows you that the word of el is a strong lashon. And then when you add on Eila, it's even a stronger form, right? It's even the addition of that hay makes it even to a much stronger form. Now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. The pasuk that you quoted by Arayot is not the only pasuk that's found by Arayot, right? Because it says, which is the pasuk I quoted before, right? That anybody does need to talk about the Eila. So you have the word Eila over there. So Gemara says, no. How do mute midot mi karet? That's to tell you that midot don't get a chiyuv karet. It says kol asir to vote eila you get karet, but not for midot. So the Rashbam points over here, this is not a gzera shava that you would have thought toiva that you get to get, or it's not a kal v'chomer, but rather it's a gilui milsa. The gilui milsa by a rayot says kol asir to vote eila, right? Karet to karet will be cut off. So that means that anybody who does a toiva in the Torah will be classified get karet. Toiva, that's the definition of toiva. Where else do we see a toiva? That's also by midot. We see the word toiva. Since we see it by midot, that also is a chiyuv karet. So the Gemara comes along and says, Eila comes to teach you only by arayot and not by midot. So, elamayot fayu, if that's the case, you get karis by arayot and you don't get karis by gezel. So then, what's better? Why is this worse? So, hatam efshar b'tshuva. By arayot, you have an opportunity to do tshuva. Hachalo efshar b'tshuva. Over here, you don't have the ability to do tshuva because you were gozel the rabbim, and since you were gozel the rabbim, you have no ability to give back, right, what you stole. Alright, so we'll stop over here. There's two important Tosfotim here to point out. One is, or two important points to make here. First of all, that your Gezel Rabim, the Gemara in other places says that you can give the money back to the public coffers. So both the Rashbam and the Tosfot point out over here, even though you give it back, that's still, even though it's a good rectification, it's still not accomplishing Veshivat Gzelash or Gazal. You're not Yotze Yidei Shemaim. In the end, it's still not the returning of the Gzelah. Number two, the Tosfot brings over here, that it quotes that only by arayot that don't have a mamzer, that only when there's no mamzer have you the ability to tshuva. But if there is if there's a mamzer there, that's a mu'avat ashalo yichol itkon, and therefore there's no tshuva. The Reb Chaim comes along over here. The Reb Chaim in Tosfos, not the Reb Chaim, right? Reb Chaim says that even with a mamzer, there's an ability to do tshuva. Hashem doesn't say mamzer, don't do tshuva. It just says that the totza'ah of such a relationship is you have a mamzer. That mamzer you can't rectify. That's muvat lo yichol itkon. Right? The mamzer can never be changed. The fact that there is a mamzer, that will never change. That doesn't say that you can't do tshuva. It doesn't mean you can't, right, do tshuva for the arayot that you performed. When the Gemara says muvat lo yichol itkon, it's not about the tshuva, it's about the mamzer himself. That there's no way to rectify a mamzer. There's no way to change the status of the mamzer. But you can do tshuva. It's interesting machlokas in the Tosfos, whether when there's a mamzer produced out of such a relationship, whether is the ability to tshuva or not, right? Which is very obviously has big nafkuminot, but anyway, just interesting in the context of what we just spoke about. I'll stop here.